Mark had a good lesson this morning, didn't he? Did a good job. If he ever grows up, there's no telling what he's liable to be. No, we are very fortunate to have Mark and Stephanie here with us. We appreciate them. Mark and I work together so good. I tell you, I've seen preachers that had problems working with people, but we work together real good and have a good time doing it. And maybe I don't drive him too crazy, but we're glad to have you here tonight. If you're visiting with us, we appreciate so very much your coming and being with us. Remember all those that are sick. You know, sometimes you go for weeks and you have nobody, and then all of a sudden everybody's in the hospital. So let's be sure and remember these people and pray for them. Be sure and pray for Robert and Faye. His mother coming home is going to be a difficult thing to deal with, as some of you know. So help them if you would in every way, and let them know that you're praying for them, because they're dealing with a tough situation, as other people are too. So let's be sure and do that. What I want us to do tonight, we're gonna look at relationships, and usually, when you talk about relationships, people think you're talking about the relationship of a husband and wife, of a man and a woman, or relationships of co-workers. But I want us to look at the relationship of God, that we have with God. And it's important that we understand that, because that relationship has many facets to it. You know, we have relationships with different people, with our wife, with our children, with people at work, with all those other people. We have a great relationship with them. But what we've got to do is we need a relationship with God. And we need to have that relationship with God. Now, turn with me, if you would, to 1 John. In 1 John, the second chapter, John here is trying to help people to understand some things that they need to know about. In the second chapter, I've lost the second chapter. Where did it go? It's supposed to be right after the first one, isn't it? Well, I must be turning to... Oh, there it is. I lost it. I found it, okay? In the second chapter, John is an epistle of love. The first book that he wrote was that of John, four books that make up the beginning of this book, or at least the New Testament. But in that one, he's trying to prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he does a great job in doing that. In this book here, in the first book here, he's trying to show people that they need to have a love for God, and that they need to have a love for each other. Some have called this book the Epistle of Love, because he wants people to know they need to care for each other. They need to love each other. And so here he talks in the second chapter, he said, "My little children." Now, it said, I don't know how true it is, but it said they used to bring John in at an old age, and they would bring him in on a kind of a stretcher type thing, and they'd put him up in front of the people, and he would lean up on his elbow and say, "Little children, love each other," because that shows to the world our Christianity, when we love for each other. When churches fuss and fight and have problems and troubles, that just shows to the world, hey, they say they can get along, but they can't. But what we got to do is to show that we love each other. And here he said, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you may not sin." I don't want you to sin. I want you to do what's right. You want the best for your children, don't you? And that's what he's trying to say here. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's righteous, and he wants to make us righteous. And he himself is the propitiation. He's the payment price for our sins. You see, we sold out to the devil. And when we sold out to the devil, we belong to him. But Jesus Christ came and paid the price for us. Now the price was his life, was his blood on the cross. And he paid that. Nobody forced him to do it. Nobody made him do it. But he did that. Why? Because of his love for us, John 3 and verse 16. And so here it's saying, understand these things, that he is the one that loves us. And he himself is the propitiation. He's the price for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And not only the whole world, but the world after the world after the world. He is the one for every generation. He's the one that's always there. That's where we're included in this, of this kind of love that he has here. Verse 3, now by this we know that we know him. Now, how do you know that you know Jesus Christ? Well, it seems kind of a superfluous thing to say something like that, but how do you really know him? You know, I know the President of the United States. I know who he is. Now, does he know who I am? Nope. And we may say, I don't want him to know who I am. But I know of him. He may know of a people that live in Alabama. I don't think he knows where I live or anything about me. But that's okay. I know him. But it's different with Jesus Christ. You see, we know him because of the relationship that we have with him. Because he knows us. You know, the Bible talks about people and the things in this world. And he said, God knows every hair on your head. Now, if he knows every hair on your head, does he know you? Yeah. He knows you in such an intimate way that sometimes it scares us. But here he's got this intimate relationship with us. And then he starts in verse 4 here, said, he who says, I know him, and, well, I need to finish verse 3. Now by this we shall know him if we keep his commandments. If we follow what he has to say, then we know him. Now, if you don't keep his commandments, you don't know God. Don't care what you say, you don't know him. Verse 4, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. Now, boy, that's strong stuff. He's a liar. Now, look what he says as he goes on here in this. Not only is he a person who is lying, but he is a person who is not going to follow God, and because of that, he is going to be lost. Verse 4, the latter part there, and the truth is not in him. We don't have the will of God, God's knowledge within us. Now, look as he talks here in verse 5. But whosoever keeps his word, the love of God is perfected, completed, made perfect within him. Now, it's not saying there that we're made perfect. But what it's saying there is that's what God wanted. Jesus gave his life for us. So here, when Jesus, and when we take that into us, it helps us to see, and it helps Jesus to see that his job was worthwhile. Now, you know, isn't it good when you take somebody and you train them, and they know how to do a job, and you see them as they're able to complete that job? I think maybe mothers can see this with children. Here they've got a little child that can't write, and they work with them so that they can learn how to write. And boy, they can write, and one day you're looking at them, and man, they can just write off those words, and they can do it. And boy, you just, man, isn't that great? Isn't that fabulous? I think about teachers that teach children and helping them. That's the kind of pride that Jesus is talking about here. That's the kind of perfection he's talking about here. That we're those people that we understand this and we're complete. By this, we know that we are in him. We know that we're in him because we're listening to what he has to say. The world knows you're a Christian because of the way you live. And the way you conduct your life. And that's what John's trying to say here. So what we're going to talk about is this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ and with God. And this relationship's important. Now, I want us to look at this here. How do we know that we have this relationship? How are we sure about that? And what is that? So we want to look at that. Now, he says here, I want you to see this. To have a relationship, God wants us to have a relationship of love with him and Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. That we love him and we know he loves us and he cares for us. But we want more than just that love. We want him to have a pride in us. God loves everybody. But let me tell you something. He swells with pride when he sees those people that are doing his will. He sees those people that are following his will. Could you see when we read in Job about the devil and God telling him about Job and what Job had done and what kind of person he was on this earth? Could you hear within God's word there his pride that he was giving about Job? What a great, have you seen Job down there? When you were down there walking around like a roaring lion, did you see Job? You didn't get him, did you? He's on my side. He's following me. He is my servant. That's what he's trying to do. That's what he's going to do. And so here he is, my servant. You know, Sadducees had come to Jesus, and they were trying to trick him, and they were trying to kind of, you know, get him to do something that was wrong or say something that was wrong so that they could get him in some way and bring some charges against him, but it didn't work. And so the Sadducees went away. Now the Pharisees in Matthew 22, they heard about this and they thought, okay, we know what we're going to do. We're going to go down there. And if we can get our sharpest guy that knows all the arguments, that knows how to do all this, if we can get him to go in and we can get him to defeat Jesus, to trap Jesus, then not only are we going to be over Jesus, but we're going to be over the Sadducees too. It's a power thing. Power is something that's so, it takes over people's lives. And you've seen that in people that, you know, you give them a little power and it goes to their little head and then you've got a big mess. But look at this. Look at what he's trying to say here. They brought their lawyer in. And the lawyer had asked a question that they had asked for many, many years. Jesus, let me ask you something, you know. What's the greatest commandment? Now, if somebody asked you what the greatest commandment was, what would you say? Well, go to church. That's a good one. Give, that's a good one too. Don't steal, don't lie. But Jesus said something here that maybe they thought was kind of strange. He said the first one is this, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's how you need to love God. Now, have you thought about that? I think this one supersedes even loving your family more than me. You love your family less than you love God. But let me ask you something. Do you love self less than you love God? Do you look at yourself and say, listen, I'll put this body in danger. Remember Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful, even if you've got to die to be faithful, is what it says in some translations. You be faithful even if it costs you your life. Now that's what you're saying now. I'm gonna put my life and put the serving God and doing God's will above my own life. I'll die before I'll not confess Him. I'll die trying to serve Him and trying to be His servant. That's really what it's saying. Now, that I think that's even greater than the love we have for our family. He said, what about yourself? What about you? What will you give? He said, I want everything you have. That's what you're supposed to do. And we know the second one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Care for other people. Care for other people. This is what he's saying here. This is the kind of relationship that we've got to have. That we love him so much. And we care for him so much. Don't you love to see love? See the manifestations of love? Little children and the parents, when the parents pick them up and hold them. Maybe the little child's crying, and the mama reaches over and picks them up and holds them, and they just seem to stop. Almost looks miraculous, really, but they do it. And you say, that's love. That's love that's shown. That's love that's there. And we've got to understand that love. Our love is based on our obedience. And we have to understand this. In the passage we read a while ago in 1 John, that's what it was saying there. Your love is based on your obedience. All right, now, does God love everybody? Yes. Does everybody love God? No. They don't. But some people that are Christians think that they love God. And see, this is where the devil really makes it. He wants you to think that you love God, but then not obey him. And if you do that, he's got you. I mean, he's got you, and you're just ignorant and don't know that you're lost. There's a lot of people in the world that think they're saved. They really do. There's a lot of people in the church that think they're saved, but they're not. They may have been baptized. What about following his commands? Not just the command to be baptized. What about all the other commands we're supposed to follow? Serving, worshiping, giving, doing all those things. acting good toward other people, helping other people and doing for other people, teaching the gospel to other people. What we've got to understand is that love equals obedience. If there is no love, it will be because there is no obedience. We've got to be willing to obey God and obey what God says and do what God says. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Well, what if you don't keep his commandments? Simple. You don't love him. You do not love him. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. That's it. You don't. Because he said, love is shown by obedience to my will. If we don't do his will, we don't love him. In fact, you hear what John said a while ago? We're lying. We're lying to ourselves. We're lying to God. We're lying to everything. Because if we don't follow him, then we're lying about it all. All right, number two here. Do you have a relationship with God that is based on friendship? Now, let me tell you something. The Jews had a hard time swallowing this one. They looked at God as one that was punishable. I mean, he punished everybody. He was one who was ready to cast people into torment. He was one that was ready to open the ground up and thousands of people just fall into it. He was one that would help people to knock down walls where they could go in and kill everything in there that was alive. When they thought of God, they thought of fear. They were afraid. But here Jesus Christ came, and when he wanted them to see the friendship that we've got to have with God. Now, you can obey somebody because they've got rule over you. But if you've got rule over them, that friendship opens it up to so much more. We've got to have a friendship with God, a relationship with God that is so great. If you have your Bible, turn to John 15, verses 14 and 15. Now, this is a great passage for us to see how much God really loved us. John 15, verses 14 and 15. He wants us to understand this. He's talking to the disciples there, and he said, "You are my friends. You're my friends. If you do whatever I command you." Now, we've already read other passages that tell us that. But look as he goes on here. "You are no longer call you my servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing." Here's and maybe you, if you've worked people before or you had people under you, they may not have understood the point of their job. And if they didn't understand the point of their job, they didn't understand what was going on, and they can become very discouraged. At General Motors, they did a study. People working on the line, and you had 40 cars coming down through there. You had one job that you were supposed to do. People got discouraged in that. You know what they did? They started taking those fellas down at the end of the line and showing them the cars that were coming off the end of the line. That's what you did. Look at your part. Look at what you did there. And you know, the productivity. And the people enjoyed their job a little bit better because they thought their job was worth something. Do you like to do anything and think this is not worth anything? I don't. I don't have that much time. I don't want to fool with that. But I want to know it's worth something. And so here he's trying to say this thing here is something you need to understand. I don't treat you as a servant. Okay, you go over there and do that. Well, what do I have to do with that? First of all, you didn't ask that as a servant. You just go did what you got. You went. You did what you were supposed to do. I got that one out. You did that, and that's it. Did you understand it? Didn't make any difference. But look at what he says here. Listen, you're no longer my servants, but I want you to know that I have revealed to you everything. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I, Jesus Christ, have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You're not a servant anymore. You're a brother and you're a sister. You know God's will. You know what God wants you to do. You know the end of the story. You're not just somebody that you're reading a chapter and all you know is that one chapter. But he said, I'm showing you the whole book. I'm showing you exactly what's going to happen here. I want you to know what's going to happen here. One, we fight and we win. You cannot be defeated if you stay in the fight and you continue to fight. He wanted his disciples to know that. You know, they came to him on one occasion and said, Jesus, show us God. I want to see God. He said, have I been with you so long that you haven't seen God in me? Have you seen the things I've done? That's exactly what God would do. That's exactly what he would do. Because I'm obeying the Father. I'm doing what the Father wants me to do. And I'm going to be obedient to that. And I'm going to obey that. And I'm going to follow that. He wants us to understand that. He said, you know what I know. You know what you need to know. Some people get upset because God doesn't answer every question they've got. Let me tell you something. We don't need to worry about that. We don't need to worry about some of the things we worry about. What we need to be concerned with is, what is his will for me? What did he tell me to do? Not, well, what did God mean by this? And what is this? And what? No, obedience is what we need to do. Because he's going to always tell us to do what is good and right. I mean, he's not going to tell you to do something that, you do what God tells you to do, and then all of a sudden God laughs and says, I want to tell you, I just tricked you. I told you to do something that was wrong. God doesn't do that. He tells us what to do that is right, and he wants us to do it. Our friendship with God, which was something that the Jews could not comprehend. They could not understand God being a friend. But we can. Because we understand what he said here. We understand the completion of his will. And so here the friendship comes in. We are those people that we are friends with Jesus Christ, and we're going to follow what he has to say because we know a friend is going to tell us the right thing. You ever had a friend to tell you something that you didn't want to believe? I mean, they just said, okay, this is the way it really is. And because of the situation you were in, because of what's going on around there, your mind was not thinking exactly right about this. And your friend said, no, you are wrong. And now this is what you need to do. This is how you need to handle that. This, you know, and you're saying, okay, I know I believe this, but you're my friend. And I'm going to do what you say. You're my friend. That's where a friend is. That's the kind of friend we need in Jesus Christ. What does he tell us to do? Well, be baptized. Silliest thing I've ever seen. One grown person taking another grown person and sticking them in the water and saying that's going to save them. Isn't that foolish? Isn't that silly? Well, it is if you're not a friend of Jesus Christ. Attend the worship service. Why do I have to go to every one of them? I know what they're going to do. They're going to sing, pray, give, take the Lord's Supper, do all that, kind of meet and greet each other a little bit, and then that's it, you know. I can do that sometime. And I don't have, no, if we're his friend, we're going to follow what he has to say. We're going to do what he has to say because we are a friend of his. A lack of obedience is a lack of a friendship with Jesus Christ and God. That's exactly what it is. Now, look at this one. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and with God that it's like a family? God is our what? In a family relationship, God is our what? Father, okay? Do you think he kind of wants us to look at this as a family relationship, as a family? We are what? Brothers and sisters. There'll be a test after this. You better pay attention. Some of you may have to stay after school. Do I get to do that? I could preach longer, couldn't I? No, that won't work. We're brothers and sisters. You see, we look at God as our Father. Now, please understand, when you say that, some people did not have a good father, and so that relationship is kind of skewed in their minds. Let me tell you something. You want the best father, the greatest father. In fact, he was better than Bill Cosby. He's the greatest father that ever was. Because he's looking out for us. He's trying to give us everything we need Not necessarily everything we want, but he's trying to give us every bit of that. And here we are a part of the family of God. In Ephesians 3, verses 14, 15, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father." I'm bowing my knee to the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family of God in heaven and on earth, for those people, is named. He said, listen, we're a family. God's my Father. God's going to always tell me what to do that's right. He's going to always guide me in the right way, help me to do what's good. He's never going to tell me something that's wrong. He's going to tell me what's right. I can put my total trust in Him. That's what faith is. When we put our total trust in God, that's what faith is. And that's the kind of faith that we need to have. We need to be those people that we obey Jesus Christ as close as we can, because He is our elder brother. And He's trying to help us and guide us in the right way. Have you ever had an elder brother that kind of corrected you and helped you to know what's right, watched out for you? Maybe somebody did something to you at school and he went in and he kind of handled that deal for you. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. He handles those things. He deals with those things. Now, on one occasion, Jesus' brothers and sisters came in. I personally think they thought that something was wrong with him, that maybe mentally he had slipped, and they came in. They were going to take him out of this situation. It was a house, and it was full of people, and they couldn't come in. And one of the guys came in and said, "Jesus, your mother and your brother and your brothers and your sister, they're outside, and they want to talk to you." He said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" This is what he said. "For whosoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." Those people, that's my family. See, we've got to understand this idea of family is something that's so important to God, because He has adopted us. He's adopted us. With all our problems, with all our difficulties, He's adopted us as His children. And we have this relationship with Him that's based upon a friendship. It's based upon fellowship. It's based upon so many other things, but it's based upon here we have this relationship with Him because we're His child. Remember when Adam walked with God in Genesis 3 in the garden in the cool of the evening? He walked there, he talked with Him, he had a relationship with Him. Don't you have that kind of relationship with people? I think it's getting longer and longer for Linda to get home in the afternoon, because she's either talking to one of the boys or Melanie, or one of you one. And she's talking and talking and talking. She comes in the house sometimes talking. She goes out talking too, but that guy doesn't listen to her much. Because she's got a relationship with them, and it's so important. Isn't that wonderful to have that kind of relationship? What if you had that kind of relationship with God? See, that's what he's trying to say. This is the kind of relationship you have. But Adam walked with God and talked with God just as two friends walk and talk. As you and I might walk and talk about some things. Here's this friendship, this fellowship that we have with each other. And we have that with God. Now just think about that. Oh, the Jews couldn't even conceive of something like this. But it was there for us. It was ours. God is our Father. God is doing the best for us, and He's telling us to do what's right. Now, look at this. Do you have a relationship, a fellowship with God? Now, we don't know what fellowship is. It's when we work together, when we have fun together, when we cry together, when we eat together, when we do a lot of things. We have fellowship. We have a uniting with each other. That's what we've got to have. We've got to have this thing of fellowship. And we need to be those people that have that fellowship. That fellowship is so strong. That fellowship is so great. In 1 John 1 and verse 3, it talks there about that fellowship that we have with God. Listen to this. "That which we have seen and heard, we deliver to you," that, the purpose, "that you also may have fellowship with us." Oh, that's great. We got fellowship with each other. That's wonderful. That's fabulous. And it's hard to conceive of not having that. But look at this. He goes on just a little bit further. We have that fellowship with one another, with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father. We're united together, but we're also united with God. We have this fellowship, this union together with each other. And so we have this. We have this fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have a union. We have a fellowship that is so great and so grand and so wonderful. Oh, listen. I want you to understand the relationship that we should have with God. The kind of relationship we should have with God. We're not just talking about a God who is great and wonderful and up there in heaven and He's able to handle everything. He's able to deal with it, everything. But God is a personal God. He knows you. He loves you. And He wants to have that fellowship with you. The only thing that can destroy that, the only thing that can take that out of the way, is our not being obedient to Him. That's the only thing. You say, well, if we sin, He's ready to forgive us when we repent. He'll take us back. How many times? As many times as you sin and you say, God, please forgive me, and you are repentant of that, let me tell you something. I guarantee you He'll forgive you every time. And we need to know that. He'll forgive us every time. Do you have a relationship with God? Is it based on love? Is it based on fellowship? Is it based on obedience? That's the thing we've got to understand. And you have an intimate relationship with Him. We've got to have that. If we don't have that, we may not last long in religion. And we're not going to last long when we stand before God. We're not going to do that. Let me tell you something. Tonight we're going to sing this song. If you want a greater fellowship and relationship with God, then respond to the invitation. If there's sin in your life, we want to pray with you and for you. Please respond tonight. If there's things that are troubling you or bothering you and you want the prayers of the church, because in this thing of fellowship for each other, we're going to pray for each other. And if you're not a Christian, if you've never named the name of Jesus Christ, if you've never been saved, and you can go through all those different things, if that's where you are, let me tell you something. Come and have a relationship with God tonight. Do that. Whatever we can do to help you to go to heaven, we want to do that. And whatever you can do to help us, let us know, because we need that help. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.